Looking at the Texans roster this offseason, as free agency is about a month away, they have enough star power. What Brian Gay needs is depth in the offseason. Even in the places where they're weak, offensive line, cornerback, I don't think it's as much about getting stars as it is about getting, especially on the offensive line, just guys who can play at a competent level. Pro Football Focus put out their top 101 from the 2018 season, and the Texans had six different guys make the list. DeAndre Hopkins, who they had as the second-best player in the league in 2018. Hopkins, Watt, Clowney, Deshaun Watson, Kareem Jackson, and Bernhard McKinney. This team, I think, has enough top-end talent. What they need is to fill out the roster with more solid players.
The really interesting thing about Kareem Jackson being on the list is that if you since this is a Pro Football Focus list, you can look at the Pro Football Focus grades and figure out how they come to it. He made it as a cornerback. But if you look at their grades through the course of the season, the first half of the season was when Kareem did his best work. And that's when we saw him come up and make a lot of like bone-jarring stops and great tackles. And he was doing a lot of good work as a safety. Like, he played a third of his snaps this season as a safety. The other two-thirds were as a cornerback or a slot corner. And a lot of those snaps at safety were in the first half of the season when he got his best grade. So he makes this as a cornerback. But we saw down the stretch that he wasn't as effective. He wasn't as impactful. That's why I feel really good about Kareem Jackson this year, as long as he gets to play safety, which goes back to what you were talking about, Mike, which is they flat out need more cornerbacks. Jonathan Joseph's still very effective, but doesn't have the top end speed he used to. Give me one burner. Give me one dude that I feel like, holy crap, that guy is fast as hell in the defensive backfield.
That guy who could maybe play man coverage, stick with some of those really fast receivers, specifically a Tyreek Hill, or even more importantly, a T.Y. Hilton type. I look at this list that Pro Football Focus made, that put together, and I hate to give Pro Football Focus credit for anything, because while those guys do all watch film, I think that if you have one person that's watching a lot of film on one team, giving grades for every single player that's out there, it's going to be really difficult, I think, for those all to be accurate across every single game that's being measured over the course of the season, just based off of humanity and how we all are wired. But they got it right as far as the six best Texans this past season. As you mentioned, Seth, Kareem Jackson was great in the first half of the year. Bernhard McKinney, who was 94th on the list, he had a great close to the season, too. Of course, DeAndre Hopkins, second overall.
I think he was number one last year? This is a buck down for DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, man.
I think he should be furious.
Step back
about this. Yeah.
So you might have to consider trading him. He's on the decline. What would Bill Belichick do in that situation? Going back to what you were talking about with Kareem Jackson, Landry on In the Loop yesterday said that he thinks that there's a good chance Kareem Jackson could be gone, because one of the things he took as a sign was that on Radio Row, where everyone who's going from station to station to station typically has something that they're trying to pitch, Kareem Jackson didn't really have anything to pitch. So maybe Jackson is aware of the idea that he needs to promote himself as best as he possibly can. This is
the most Landry thing I've ever heard.
It is
the most like why would anybody do anything except for money? I think this means that he's promoting himself to the rest of. But every time we've done everything with Kareem Jackson, it's been to promote his charity and his foundation. I'm sure if we go back and listen to those interviews, I'm guessing he at least gave one shout out to his son. Plus,
Kareem, I like the take.
Kareem Jackson wants to go into media when he's done. Like, he does the little TV show he does with the Texans
KJAC
media
TV.
Over there. KJAC TV.
I still
it's
like
awesome.
The take. Still like it. It's a hot, pipey, hot piping, meaty take right there.
It's unique. I can't deny that.
Plus, he's a free agent. Of course he would be doing that. Like, I don't understand. I'm not going to rake Landry over
exactly.
the coals here without hearing the actual take.
We could pull the audio from that. I'd rather just ask the actual question so that we can talk about this. Do you guys feel that Kareem Jackson's going to be here this coming season?
My gut feeling is no, because I think that the Texans are going to be choosing between Matthew and Jackson, and I think they'll choose Tyrann Mathieu.
Who is a better safety, Tyrann Mathieu or Kareem Jackson? And it's hard with when you don't know what the specific schemes are. And like Tyrann didn't make as many plays as we hoped that he would, except that he isn't being used in nearly the same manner that he was used in Arizona. You know, he was more of a genuine safety, like the definition of the word safety. Just like, all right, let's keep bad stuff from happening. I'm torn on this. I don't know. I guess the question would be, who do they focus their attention on first? I would love it if there was a leak and we heard that, oh, hey, the team is talking to Tyrann Mathieu or the team is talking to Kareem Jackson. I do think this. I think Kareem Jackson has already had an example set for him by Jonathan Joseph in that Jonathan Joseph, I'm guessing one of Kareem's best friends in the world, gave the Texans a bit of a hometown discount and
took less money
and just said, hey, this is where I want to be. This is where I've been. This is where my home is. And I, like, I'm not asking Kareem to take less money, but I wonder if where right now financially the best thing for Kareem would be to test free agency, maybe he, if he gets a reasonable offer, he's just going to stay. I personally, if I had to choose at this point, and I know he's going to play safety, I'd rather have Kareem Jackson.
Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Tuesday. So you would take Jackson as a safety over Tyrann Mathieu?
Yes.
That's fair.
Yes.
That's a perfectly reasonable take.
Yeah, I know,
take.
But I also, you know, like, I hate doing those exercises. I like both of them. I don't.
It's okay,
I don't like both. I don't like playing King Solomon with that duo.
I like both of them as well. I would probably keep Jackson because he's been here. He has the versatility side that can help you out if you find yourself in another spot where you are ravaged by injuries. Landry thinks that Tyrann Mathieu, if they had to pick between the two, would be the one that would stay. John Lopez thought that Tyrann Mathieu might be better suited elsewhere because we saw some of his issues in coverage. And of course, Lopez has had a little back and forth on Twitter with Tyrann Mathieu about some of his coverage issues in the past.
You know, the one thing about John was that he claimed that Tyrann has always been a risk taker and a boomer bust player. I don't know that I've ever actually felt that.
I view him more as a playmaker than a huge risk taker.
Right. Yeah. I don't look at him taking risks at the expense of doing the right thing.
Aren't those things typically tied together? And I'm not speaking about Tyrann Mathieu necessarily here. Risk taker / playmaker defensively, those are always almost the same.
Well, I mean, yeah, you have to take some risks to jump routes and whatnot, but I don't look at him as a guy that was inordinately like that. Like, there's a guy.
If he was inordinately, he would be getting busted for it a lot, right?
Right. So that's where I guess I don't know. The other thing about Kareem is that he's been, you know, he's getting up there in years, but he's been pretty healthy his whole damn career.
I think he's going into his 10th year. I mean, yes. Think about that.
That's amazing.
That, he has been playing for a while. He does not seem like he has been playing for 10 years.
Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Tuesday, Mad Radio. So my premise is the Texans have enough elite talents on their roster. What they need to become a better team and to reach the level that we all want is, I think this team needs more depth, more well-rounded players.
This is the problem, though. And this is, it's almost like the elephant in the room who's like a tiny little speedy slot corner, which is Aaron Colvin. Aaron Colvin is precisely the type of player you're talking about the Texans going out and getting.
Yes.
Like, okay, he's not an all-pro performer, but he's a solid pro, right? Doesn't even have to be one of your top three cornerbacks. That's where I get a little bit nervous, is that was the one notable free agency acquisition they made last year. And that was potentially, in terms of what you got for the investment, that might have been one of the worst signings in free agency in the NFL last year.
What I'm saying, though, is that they need good, well-rounded players. Because to that point, the Texans could have been shopping at the more expensive grocery store and signed Trumaine Johnson or Malcolm Butler. It would have been more of a disaster.
But that's my issue, is that they went out and got precisely the type of player we're talking about.
Yes.
And it was a huge failure.
Well, but the player has to be productive for them.
I'm not sitting here arguing to go do another Aaron Colvin. I'm saying that yes, Mike, you're agreeing with me. You can't go out and have another Aaron Colvin signing. One of the reasons they're in this mess at cornerback is that Aaron Colvin gave you nothing last year.
That we agree with.
I don't think you go after an Aaron Colvin type as much as you go after the elite corner. And yeah, that did not work out for the teams that had the opportunity this offseason. Trumaine Johnson did not work out. Malcolm Butler did not work out. But the year before that, Stephon Gilmore did work out for the New England Patriots and has been one of the better corners in the league ever since the Patriots made that signing, which at the time was a shocker just given the New England and their history. And also, I mean, the Rams were in the Super Bowl. Marcus Peters was a bit of a failure this year, but Aqib Talib was awesome with the Rams when he was healthy. He was awesome.
Yeah, he was good.
And he somehow found a way to be an ageless wonder.
Did Trumaine Johnson not work out, or was it the Jets that just didn't work out? Did he have a particularly bad year?
He did not distinguish himself on the highest paid cornerback contract.
Yeah, how do you do that with playing for the
That's
Jets?
A fair point.
Well, here's how you do it. Jamal Adams was a good safety. Trumaine Johnson was not good. That's how you do it.
Yeah, but his cornerback, it's really on a bad defense especially. Like, what are you using, interceptions?
Well, Patrick Peterson was an excellent player on a bad team, right? I mean, I guess the Cardinal defense is probably better than the Jets defense.
I'm looking at that list of the top 101 players. And, Mike, you're saying that they need more depth, the Texans.
Yes.
And I look at it from, they need elite talent in two specific places. They need at least one person that can be the centerpiece of the offensive line. Is that someone that you can find in free agency? Doubtful. They also need to have an elite, I think, number one kind of corner. Because as much as Jonathan Joseph has given to the Texans over the last several years, he is not that guy anymore. Kevin Johnson is never going to be that guy anymore. They need to find that guy. That's going to be tough to do.
There are potentially maybe six offensive tackles that are worth taking in the first round. That's a bit of a stretch, but like there's that much talent at offensive tackle in this draft. If they botch this selection this year where they have a chance at one of these guys, I'm guessing, you know, offensive tackle used to be considered a safe position to take. Now it's a little bit more of a crapshoot because the standards in college just aren't what they used to be. I'd be very surprised, though, and extremely disappointed if whoever they drafted offensive tackle isn't a damn good one.
I agree.
Because there are opportunities this year. This is an extremely good year. After offensive tackles had been a wasteland for a long time, like this is a good year for tackles.